As COVID-19 infection rates rise across Europe, countries there are working to try and slow the spread of the virus again. That is among the key international stories of the coming days. And with me via Skype for our weekly look at some of them is the BBC's Pete Ross. And Pete, let's start there. UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson gave an update earlier today. What did he have to say and what can we expect from the World Health Organization this week as cases continue to rise across Europe?
Well, I think the main thing to say is, as you say, infection rates rising across Europe. I've seen the word spike so many times this morning as I was reading around to see what was going across Europe as a whole. And numbers are basically spiking in many, many countries. You look to France, for example. The French Prime Minister Emmanuel Macron said today that the second wave is already there in France. They had their single biggest number of infections in one day over the weekend there. Or you look to the Czech Republic, who were an early success story in this fight against COVID-19. Now they're having thousands of new cases a day. In fact, there's nowhere in Europe where the daily infection rate isn't rising as quickly as the Czech Republic. So lots of countries around Europe looking to bring in tighter restrictions, including here in the UK. And yes, you're right. Our Prime Minister Boris Johnson, just in the last few moments, has stood up and addressed Parliament to say what the situation was in the UK. And he painted a pretty bleak picture, you know, four times the number of infections this week than there were just a couple of weeks ago. But the main thing I think that the Prime Minister wanted to get out to people is he's resistant to a national lockdown. This is the fear as this second wave sweeps across Europe. Will we all have to go back into these national lockdowns we saw just a few months ago? And what happened with Mr. Johnson was he basically sort of appealed to the two people on the extremes of the argument. So those people who would like to see a return to complete shutdown to halt the virus. And then also those who say, nope, we should. And in Mr. Johnson's words, he said, let it rip. He was not up for either of those options. So he's going to introduce a number of local restrictions designed to try and kind of stop the halt of the virus when it's the infection rates are the highest, essentially. So we'll look to that in the next coming days to see exactly what that means. But yeah, further restrictions certainly on the way.
All right. So, Pete, from the UK and Europe to Thailand now, anti-government protesters plan to stage a mass protest in Bangkok on what is the 47th anniversary of the 1973 student uprising there. It follows an unprecedented wave of protests in recent months in that capital city. Why do these protests come about and why are they so significant?
Well, that's right. You said an unprecedented wave of protests in Thailand this year, and that's certainly the case. This particular movement's being led by young people, high school pupils and university students. And the thing that kicked it off earlier this year, a court in Thailand ordered a fledgling pro-democracy opposition party to dissolve. That led to protests. And since then, we've seen a series of political scandals, together with the economic disruption brought on by COVID-19. That stirred public discontent and with the government and also, you know, growing sympathy with these student-led protests. Now, I think it's the key thing here, though, is it's in two branches. So one, demonstrators are demanding, you know, huge government reforms. The other side of it is they want reform of the monarchy. So the fact that these students and these young people are challenging, you know, breaking a long-standing taboo and demanding, you know, change to the power and the wealth of the country's monarch, that really is quite new. And just a couple of things to say quickly. There's two dates to look out for this week. 14th of October is the anniversary of a student uprising in 1973. It's called the October 14 Uprising. Many student demonstrators were killed, but the aftermath, it led to a big political upheaval and a change of the political system in Thailand. And basically, a lot of Thai people sort of celebrate it as a freedom day. So, you know, that's coming up this week. Expect big protests. The other thing, the Thai king, actually, he doesn't live in Thailand. He lives in Germany. And he'll be returning this week because October 13th is the anniversary of the death of his father. So two very big dates to look out for. And you could see, you know, I think a lot of people on the streets of Bangkok protesting this week because of that.
All right, Pete. Finally, Israel's parliament voting on ratifying the normalization deal with the United Arab Emirates. This deal would help establish full diplomatic and economic ties between the two countries and comes ahead of a possible UAE delegation visit to Israel. Now, the U.S. had a pretty big hand in this deal, but why is it happening now and what does it mean for the region?
That's right. It's a very significant deal. Today, it's getting voted through the parliament. It should be a formality. The deal itself was signed, as you'll remember, in the White House last month. And President Trump, the US, had a big hand in it. President Trump and his team claiming it as a big political victory. It's a big deal because, well, it means big deals. The Israeli officials have touted the possibility of billions of dollars in new trade between Israel and the United Arab Emirates. The other thing to say on it as well, at the time when that deal was signed last month, officials within the Trump administration suggested that other nations in the region could possibly be following suit of the United Arab Emirates and moving towards normal ties with Israel as well. They suggested that perhaps Oman, Sudan, and Morocco were among the countries that might agree to this. However, the big prize remains Saudi Arabia, big player in the region. And this weekend, we got a sign, perhaps our first sign, that Saudi leadership is considering or preparing for an eventual deal with Israel. They had a guy on television. His name's Prince Bandar, 22 years as a foreign diplomat, Saudi ambassador to Washington. And he spent the weekend on Saudi television basically criticizing the Palestinians. And that is a big change in language. Of course, the Arab world normally rallies around the Palestinians in any affairs with Israel. But this seems that the landscape is perhaps changing. And yeah, maybe not in the next few weeks, but certainly it feels like the direction of travel, we could see a deal between Israel and Saudi sometime this year, sometime in the future. And that really, really would be a very big deal indeed.
All right. That is the BBC's Pete Ross. Pete, as always, good to talk to you. Thank you.
Mark, lovely to be on. Thank you.